Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday gathering. Let's see what we do. You know, every time I get on here, it seems like, and do this, it seems like, my goodness, it's been years since I've done this. And I'm sure it's only been like a month or two. So, George, stop running, rubbing it in from sunny Florida. Give us a minute. I'm teasing. We're expecting a foot and a half of snow, so I did see the sunny Florida message there. Anywho, welcome everybody. Dawn's going to play our opening song so that we can greet one another on the board and hear about how lovely your weather is, in contrast to what we're actually, the snow here is lovely as well. So I'll let go of the mic so we can do that.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Okay, thank you all. It was fun reading your comments. And no, Kathy, I will not be playing golf today. I have to get one of those orange balls to play golf today, I think. Okay. So let's see. Our statement of purpose is this. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and rest in its embrace. And then I'll share, we have five core values. I will share one of those core values this morning. This is core value number three. We accept one true self. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And I want to, believe it or not, I want to read that last sentence again because I just want us to hear it. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Okay. Announcements. I've got those too. Let me find them. Okay, first of all, I want to talk about our holiday schedule. So listen carefully and closely for what you need to hear, because sometimes when we announce our days that we're closed, people get confused, and then they don't show up on the days we're open. So so here's the holiday schedule. We will be closed for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We will be closed for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Those are the only days that we're going to be closed. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And of course, we're doing that so our staff and members and friends and everybody can go be with their family and do their holidays. And then Awakening Together will still be here when you're through celebrating your holidays. So again, we'll be closed Christmas Eve and Christmas, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. What that means is that the next two gentle healing classes, we normally hold those on Tuesdays, but two of our holiday days are Tuesdays. So the next two gentle healing classes will be held on Mondays instead. So whether you're in gentle healing year one, year two, or year three, those next two classes will be held on Mondays. Okay? All right. And then after that, of course, we'll go back to our regular schedule. We will have regular Sunday services during the holidays and our regular Sunday programming during the holidays. wait a minute. Cancel. I wanted to do a scan for me. All of a sudden. Okay, and Dawn is noting this coming Tuesday, regular schedule. We'll have gentle healing on Tuesday. Following that, it will be on Monday for 2 weeks. And then we'll go, once again go back to the regular schedule. Okay? Anybody have any questions? Because I'm happy to answer it. I tried to put that where it would be least confusing, but the longer I talk about it, the more confusing it gets. So,
right. Jacqueline, if you just want to mention that when it's on Mondays, it's the same exact time that it normally occurs.
Yep, just on a Monday. Okay, so let's just look at the calendar for a second. So on, so we will have our gentle healing classes on Monday, December the 23rd. And Monday, December the 30th. Okay? Okay. All right. Good deal. Now, let me also tell you that, yay, registration is now open for our first retreat in 2020. The Starting the New Year Resolving for Truth retreat will be held at the Awakening Together Retreat House here in lovely La Vita. January the 20th through the 24th. In the tradition, I'm going to tell you about the retreat now. In the tradition of the New Year's resolution, those attending this retreat will start the new year by determining a spiritual vision for 2020 and devising a realistic plan for achieving that vision. Regina will work with participants to help them discover their spiritual aspiration and then determine the best next steps for them specifically towards achieving that purpose. And then break those steps down into achievable spiritual objectives that they will be able to master in 2020. The process that we will use at this retreat is practical, intuitive, and guided by inner spiritual intuition with a little help from our facilitator. You can expect to receive personal and private help with your individual spiritual obstacles. After a year of following the achievable plan that you will develop at the retreat, you will be able to see advancement in your own personal spiritual progress. This retreat is led by Regina Dawn Akers. For more information about the retreat, please visit our website and look under Retreats and Classes, Retreats at the Retreat House. All right. Also, our next MPP class is now open for registration. That class is the Teachings of Ramana Maharshi. The class is 6 weeks long. Let me tell you a little bit about Ramana Maharshi. I'm sure you all know, but let me remind you. He was born on December 30th, 1879, in a village in Tamil, India. His father died when he was 12, and he went to live with his uncle. At age 16, he experienced a sudden and extreme fear of death, to which he responded by immediately seeking the truth of the self and became self-realized. 6 weeks later, he followed an inner calling and ran away to India's holy hill, Arunachala, where he remained for the rest of his life. For years, he was a silent ascetic. He spent many hours each day deep in samadhi. Years later, he emerged from silence to share the wisdom of the true self with those who came seeking it. Before the end of his life in 1950, thousands of people had come to him from all over the world. Ramana Maharshi became known as one of the greatest saints to have ever graced this planet with his presence. This class will meet on Tuesdays, January 14th through February the 18th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. The facilitator for the class is Reverend Meg Reinhart. For more information on this class, look on our menu under Retreats and Classes, the teachings of Ramana Maharshi. And finally, we want to invite you to join us tonight at 8 p.m., 6 p.m. Mountain Time, for our third quarter member meeting. Regina will lead the meeting and discuss the following. She will discuss the third quarter financial report. She'll have an update on paying off the mortgage for the retreat house. She will give an overview of the pilgrimage for 2020 that Awakening Together will conduct as part of our annual fall retreat. And we'll have a look at the new Awakening Together discussion forum. So please join us tonight for our quarterly member meeting. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Those are the announcements. And now we are going to have an opening song. So I will I'll turn it back over to you, Dawn. Believing.
Okay. Thank you, Dawn, for playing that for us. I had heard that, you know, in my youth, but I was just amazed when I looked at the lyrics and how perfect they were for today's talk. Let's see. We'll take a moment for prayer. And I want to express my gratitude, for this organization and these people and our founder, Regina Dawn Akers, and really just the opportunity to be in an environment where truth is so prevalent. I'm grateful, again, I'm grateful to be here and grateful to have this opportunity to teach the truth that I would learn, and grateful for the opportunity to share that with you guys. I love you all. I love everything. Amen. All right. So now we'll have a reading, and our reading will be done by lovely Shauna Summers. She is going to read to you from Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, NTI, Luke chapter 12. So I'll turn it over to you, Shauna.
All righty. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. That was a great song, Jacqueline. I was so curious what was going to be given to you to play. You know, listening to the lyrics with spirit is so completely different. It's fabulous. Okay, if anybody wants to follow along, this is starts on page 151 in NTI, and it's a long one. It's about three pages, so hang in there. Okay, NTI Luke chapter 12. Now, let's talk about the work you are to do. You are aware that there will be resistance, great resistance. Do not lose this awareness and always be on guard. When resistance arises in your mind in any form, let it go immediately in gratitude as valueless. The work you are to do is within the mind. It is a work of being aware, not of the world, but of your thoughts about the world. Right now, you think you're focused on the world. You think you're focused on relationships, entertainment, and rest. But I tell you that you are not focused on any of these things. You never have been. Even your thought that you're focused on the world, it is an illusion within the mind. What you're focused on and have always been focused on is thought. In every moment, in your seeming interaction with the world, you are focused on thought. And because you see yourself as a separate entity within the world, you are focused on thoughts that seem to be generated within the private mind that belongs to you. Let's look very carefully at this process of which you are barely aware, and yet it defines everything that you think, believe, and do. Whenever you look at anything with the body's eyes, there are thoughts in your mind about that thing. If you look at a chair, for example, you may think it's pretty, worn out, available, desired, not desired, clean, dirty, etc., etc. The thoughts that come into your mind seem automatic, without any awareness or evaluation on your part. You may make judgments about the chair based on your thoughts. You may choose to sit there or not sit there based on your judgment. But you never look at, evaluate, or question the thoughts you hold about the chair. And this is only a chair. The process that you call thinking, of which you are mostly unaware, goes on within your mind regarding everything in your world. You make unevaluated judgments about the work you do, the relationships you have, pastimes you choose, and the person you think of as yourself. These unevaluated judgments define everything and everyone within your world. And they are allowed within your mind without your awareness, your questioning, or your evaluation. So this is the work that I ask you to do. I ask you to slow down your pace a bit. You may choose how you will slow it down. Pick a method that seems most comfortable for you now, but find a way to reduce the distractions in your life so that you can take the time to become aware of the thoughts that seem automatic in your mind. What are these thoughts? What are they saying to you? Why are you listening to them? Are they thoughts of love? So do not worry what you will do with these thoughts as you evaluate them. I will be with you, present in your mind, as you undertake this work of looking and questioning. For now, it is simply useful to become aware of the thoughts you think and are focused on when you think you are focused on the world. You may ask why you should do this work, especially when there's resistance telling you that you have better things to do with your time. I tell you that until you have evaluated the thoughts that are within your mind, you are unaware of why you do the things you do. Without the awareness that comes from this evaluation, can you be sure that you're storing up the treasures that you once stored up? If your time is spent on judgments made by thoughts that are not truly valuable to you, whose treasures are you storing up? Is it truly yours? But if you look at your thoughts, evaluate them, determine that they are valuable to you, and then make your life by following these thoughts, well, then you can be sure you are storing up treasures that have meaning. So first, look at your thoughts. Then when you have become aware of the thoughts you have allowed there, we will evaluate your thoughts together according to what you think is truly valuable to you. Do not worry about your progress on this path that you travel to healing. To be on the path and aware of the path and thinking of the path is enough. Let me tell you a secret that will make your journey along this path simpler and more joyful. The secret is this. As you travel this path, you will have only two experiences. It may seem like many, but in truth, it is only two. One experience will speed you along your journey in joy. The other will delay your journey a little while. The secret to a simple and joyful journey is to learn to discern between these two experiences and then always choose the joyful one. I have spoken to you of both these experiences before, so this is but a reminder for you. The only two experiences that you will know as we travel this path together are the experience of your willingness and the experience of resistance. Everything that you think you experience is either one or the other. So do not worry about your progress on this path. Do not judge your own thoughts or actions, for worry and judgment do not bring joy, so they cannot be willingness. Discern carefully, my friend. Recognize the thought within your willingness. Recognize the thought within your mind, and at every opportunity, choose the strength of your willingness. Seek only for the kingdom, and all things will be given you. Where your heart is, your treasure is also. It will be helpful if you remember this. God's will is that you be perfectly happy in every moment of eternity. That is simple. And so when you're not happy, you've made a choice that is not God's will. When you're not happy, you have chosen with resistance. That is all. It is not a fight or a rebellion. It's merely resistance. It does not take you from God or separate you from Him. It merely resists your willingness to know Him. So whenever you're not happy, it is because you're resisting accepting truth. To be happy again, all you need to do is return to your heart, to your willingness. Your willingness sings of God's will. And so give yourself to it in every hour to know happiness. Let me tell you another secret. The world cannot make you happy, and so the world must not be God's will for you. Do not worry about the world. Let the world take care of itself and trust that all things are handled in a loving way. You, my friend, are to follow your own heart. Set your feet on the path to healing and let your mind stay with the joy that comes from your willingness. Give no thought to anything else, and you will make yourself truly helpful to all. And so, my brothers, I say to you all, pay attention to how you're feeling. When you are not feeling joy, you have chosen resistance. Do not worry about your mistake, though. It is not held against you. See it only as a wake-up call and a reminder to choose your joy and willingness again. In this way, you wake yourself up. In this way, you make the choice that sets you free. And that's the reading. Thank you, Jacqueline, for asking me to read.
Thank you, Shauna. That was, excuse me, that was lovely. Yeah, well read. Yeah, and I noticed that last night. It's funny because I've read this, you know, in preparation for today's talk. We read it as part of last week's retreat, but again, seeing it this morning, it all looks brand new. And I will note that last sentence, in this way, you make the choice that sets you free. And that's really what this is about. It is your choice, but it's your choice. And you have to make the choice to set yourself free. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And basically, this is going to be a recapitulation of last week's Freedom from the Ego retreat. I will give it my best effort to convey to you what was conveyed to me and to the others at the retreat last week. But I want to tell you, if you get an opportunity to attend this retreat, the Freedom from the Ego retreat. Now, actually, right now, we do not have it on the schedule for 2020, but we're going to see where we might be able to fit that in or something similar. So yeah, if you get the opportunity, attend the retreat. Freedom from the Ego. So what we did at the retreat was Regina kind of gave us a new perspective, a new, I don't know about new, maybe we should have seen it before, it's right there in Luke, right? A different way for me of looking at what's going on in here. At how the process of creation and awakening works. And so where I want to start with this is to tell you that we looked at the conscious, subconscious, and superconscious. It's coming at this from like a psychological perspective. And certainly this work could be done without ever saying the word God. It's all the same thing, right? It's a process. And once we know what that process is, we learn what the process is, then we can deconstruct the process and use it to our advantage, use it for the purpose of awakening. So we looked at the subconscious, and we realized that the subconscious is what we have called ego. In the subconscious, we carry our habitual thoughts, our beliefs, our programming. This programming, most of this programming is done, you know, you might have heard the slogan, success by six, that they talk about. You know, it's really important what happens to children between the ages of 1 and 6. some of the research says one between the ages of 1 and 7. At that age, we're like a sponge. So most of our programming, we soak up. We just soak up without question between the ages of 1 and 7. And this is how we see our world. And we carry this with us for our entire lives. You know, we learn how to walk. We learn how to feed ourselves. We learn how to go to the bathroom. And we learn mommy's too busy to pay attention to us, right? You're a bad girl. I mean, we learn all of this. At this very early age, and it stays there. It doesn't get shook loose unless you make the choice to change your focus. the ego, the subconscious, those habitual thoughts, beliefs, or programming has also been called the realm of self-doubt. So if you're in self-doubt, if you're not 100% happy, as the reading told us, you are in this realm of self-doubt. You are operating on autopilot from this subconscious. Moreover, what we experience arises from this realm of the self-conscious. Excuse me, of the subconscious. What we experience arises from here. The subconscious is the primary influencer of our judgments, our desires, and our beliefs. And again, this isn't anything new. We're all familiar with Regina's loop of experience. What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. And what I experience, I think. What I think I see. Notice that the first thing in the loop is the thought. And where does this thought come from? This thought, until we change where our focus is, this thought comes from the programming, the habitual beliefs, what's in our subconscious. So this thought, this first thought, creates our experience. What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. And what I experience, I think again. So we get stuck in this loop of subconscious beliefs, programmed habitual beliefs. I'm sure none of that sounds new to any of you guys. But the import here is that we need to reprogram our brains. We need to reprogram those first thoughts. We need to get out, we need to reprogram ourselves so that we don't keep going back to that same well, to those same thoughts, as the beginning point in our loop of experience. We need to reprogram so that we begin to draw on our real thoughts, what we called in this retreat our superconscious, our natural self, so that we can free ourselves from this loop of experience, which are not real thoughts, which are false thoughts, which are not even our thoughts. You know, the reading said, you know, if you don't even look at your thoughts, how can you be sure whose treasure you're storing up? You're not. You're storing up the treasures of your ancestors. You're storing up the, you know, the stuff that you were taught and wrongly taught as a child. Those are the treasures you're storing up, you're reinforcing, you're rebuilding. So I called this gathering "What's in Your Wallet?" Of course, I assume that you folks are familiar with that as well. That's a Capital One credit card commercial campaign. And those commercials began in the early 2000s. And basically, those commercials showed all of the awful things that happen to you if you don't have a Capital One card in your wallet. And I just want to read you, I got this online, but it's really interesting. It says, the company wanted to use the quote because it's an interesting question. The stuff in our wallet represents financial security, purchase power, and prosperity. The question, what's in your wallet, is a clever way of planting doubt in our minds about whether or not we have the right stuff, to get all the satisfaction we are looking for in life. It prompts us to wonder if we are getting all that we think we deserve. Is there more out there that we don't yet have? Do we have what it takes to be successful? Of course, the intent of the ad campaign is to make us think that only this particular card will make us satisfied, secure, and significant. And if we don't feel secure about having the right things in our wallet, perhaps we need to reevaluate its contents. And again, that's what I'm inviting all of us to do today is reevaluate the contents of what's in here, of the subconscious, that which drives our experience. Because without this reevaluation, we will continue to have the same experience. Yeah, and in fact, the reading says the work you are to do is the work of being aware, not of the world, but of your thoughts about the world. You think you're focused on the world. You never have been. You never have been. You've always been focused on the thoughts that come from the subconscious. What you're focused on and have always been focused on is thought. In every moment in your seeming interaction with the world, you are focused on thought. Moreover, it says that you're focused on thoughts that seem to be generated within the private mind that belongs to you. And then the reading invites us to look very carefully at this process. So that's exactly what we're going to do. And the truth is, what we are, the truth is, let me try this again. The truth is that thoughts are generated either by the ego or subconscious or by inner wisdom, or the superconscious. A Course in Miracles talks about ego thoughts or the thoughts of God. And what our job is to choose between those thoughts. And again, the autopilot position, what we've been doing since day one, is drawing primarily on the thoughts of the subconscious, on the thoughts of the programming. That's what we run on. So again, our only choice is whether we'll pay attention to the thoughts generated by the ego or thoughts generated by inner wisdom, Holy Spirit, the voice for God. It's important that we reprogram the brain, that we learn to focus on the thoughts of the voice for God, the thoughts of inner wisdom, because these this programming that we talked about, those are the blocks. Those are the blocks to actually drawing on this inner wisdom, this direct connection to truth. So it's important to examine our thoughts and see whether they're coming from our ego, our subconscious, or whether we're truly tuned in to true thoughts, the thoughts of inner wisdom. And to, as we discern which they are, to let the ego subconscious thoughts go, because those are the very blocks to the truth that we're all seeking here. I want to make another point that I noted here. I've got a nice little outline, which I don't usually do. I want to be sure and fit all this in. But I look down and I do see that there's something that I didn't say that I want to say. And we said it some by referring to the reading, but here's the idea. We talked about what's in your wallet. What's in your wallet can be seen by what's in your experience. And that's why that Alan Parsons Project song was so helpful. I can read your mind. I can just look at what's going on with you. I can look at what's going on with me, right? And see what's in my mind. How can that be? Again, the thought comes first in that loop of experience. So if I look at my experience, I can see what's in my mind. If I'm a victim, if I'm always being victimized, then obviously the thought of being a victim is in my mind. By holding that in mind, by focusing my attention there, by believing that subconscious thought, I draw those experiences to me. Therefore, I can read my mind by seeing what's going on in my experience. So, what's in my wallet can be seen by what's in my experience. Again, I think I'm experiencing the world. And listen to this closely. I think I'm experiencing the world of objective reality. Right? No, there are just attackers and victims, and I just happen to be a victim, or whatever it is, right? I think that there's actually a world out there, and that, you know, I might experience a little bit different, you know, differently based on whether I tweak my perception. This is not it. And this is, I've got to tell you that this is something that I've resisted hearing for a very long time. I create the world I see. I create the world I experience. And I do that by where I choose to focus my believing attention. And up till now, by and large, my believing attention has been focused on the thoughts of the subconscious. Habit. Programming. Therefore, if I want to have a different experience, I need to learn to give my attention to true thoughts. I can only give attention to true thoughts by seeing what's in there now, by looking at the thoughts in my mind, by looking at the experience that I'm having, seeing those thoughts and letting those thoughts go. Again, this emptying process that I've just described is the process that's talked about in NTI 1 Corinthians, where it talks about the empty shell. You must become the empty shell. This is how we become the empty shell. Of course, the empty shell has access to inner wisdom, to truth, to knowledge that is beyond the mind. This emptying process has also been referred to as purification. This is the work that we are to do. NTI Luke 12 that Shauna read to us says, "The process that you call thinking, of which you are mostly aware, goes on within your mind regarding everything in your world. You make unevaluated judgments." We don't, you know, we know, ooh, judgment's a bad thing. I don't want to make judgments. We know this. But what we don't realize is we're doing it every day, every moment of every day. And what are we using it to measure, right? What's the measure of the judgments? What are we making our judgments with? The subconscious stuff, the stuff that got programmed in And these are all unevaluated. That's why it calls them unevaluated judgments. Boom, 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 natural, right? I don't know about natural, but certainly automatic. Autopilot. We run on autopilot. Says you make unevaluated judgments about the work you do, the relationships you have, the pastimes you choose, and the person you think of as yourself. You don't even know you're making them. You're just like, no, I'm empty. No, you're not empty. You are running on that program. These unevaluated judgments define everything and everyone within your world, and they are allowed within your mind without your awareness, your questioning, or your evaluation. So this is the work I ask you to do. I ask you to slow down your pace a bit. Find a way to reduce the distractions in your life so you can take the time to become aware of the thoughts that seem automatic in your mind. Then NTI Luke refers to this as the work of looking and questioning. For now, it is simply useful to become aware of the thoughts you think and are focused on when you think you're focused on the world. Inner Wisdom tells us, first, look at your thoughts. Then, when you have become aware of the thoughts you have allowed there, we will evaluate your thoughts together according to what is truly valuable to you. Again, we were just asked, you know, whose treasure you're storing up? I don't know. Mom's, my older sisters, my societies. That's the treasure I'm storing up. That's what I'm reinforcing. Connie's. Hey, Connie. Connie's values. whatever got programmed in there. But first we have to look at the thoughts and then evaluate them according to what is truly valuable. And what is truly valuable? Well, for me, and it's true for all of us, what is truly valuable is an awakening to the realization of what we truly are, awakening to truth. Not being run by a bunch of silly rules and doubt thoughts that are not anything about and have nothing to do with the truth of us. So again, the subconscious, the ego, the unevaluated realm of self-doubt holds both our collective thoughts, you know, as a species, and our own individual flavor of those thoughts. So, Pick up what Regina says here. Yeah. Regina says, this is why a man from an Islamic country can kill his own daughter if she loses her virginity before marriage. The idea of family shame was programmed in him, and he's running on his programming without conscious evaluation. What's in your wallet, right? What are you running on? What program are you running on? Yeah, and so we're looking at these societal, these cultural ideas of right and wrong, good and bad. We're running on these race-wide, species-wide conceptions of self-doubt. I am bad. What if that was in there when you were born? That's what's being proposed. These proclivities were in there when you were born. What you've done is just developed your own flavor of them, right? I am bad is in the collective consciousness. And so when I was a kid and mama said, bad girl, okay. So I'm looking for proof of this collective self-doubt, right? I'm looking for proof of how it is that Jacqueline is bad. It's just the way we're programmed. It's in there. And I'm going to find my own flavor of it. I'm bad. I'm stupid. Nobody likes me. people ignore me, I'll never get this, I'm not awake. All of these types of thoughts are programmed into the subconscious. Now, mine may be a little different than yours, but it's in there. These thoughts are primarily negative. I mean, you know, there's some stuff that's programmed in the self-conscious. How to go to the bathroom. Maybe that's natural. How to wipe after you go to the bathroom. right? How to walk. Some of these things are useful. But by and large, what's in there, the automatic programming that we run on, not useful. Not useful. Negative. Again, that programming will play in the background as our thoughts. They're not our thoughts. We don't make thoughts up out of whole cloth at an individual level. We don't. We choose whether we're going to listen to the subconscious thoughts, okay, to our programming, to our habits, or whether we're going to listen to the thoughts of truth, the thoughts of God, the thoughts for the voice of God. Those are our choices. So when you're worried about losing self-will, it doesn't really exist anyway. It doesn't really exist anyway. You've got a choice. Am I going to listen to the programming, to the habitual, to the negative? Am I going to listen to the voice for God? Host to God or hostage to the ego is the way Course in Miracles puts it. That is your only choice. And unless we make a different choice, we will continue to run on autopilot. We will continue to get the proof of all of these negative self-doubts that reside in the subconscious. So that's why we're asked in the reading to slow it down. What am I thinking? You got to catch the thought and go, oh, do I want that? Is this the treasure I want to store? Do I want more of the same? Or do I want to look at that thought and go, well, that's not true, and replace it with the true thought? Genuinely replace that with the true thought. Again, Regina told us at the retreat, and she's absolutely right. This is why it's so important to have our time of contemplation, right? Many of us do that in the morning. So that we receive our daily bread, so that we make the room so we can access the superconscious and be given specific to us, thoughts that are specific to us that will help us realize our true nature, to realize the truth. So that when we see that we are running on some negative thought from our subconscious, we can go, not true, only belief, and then replace that with our daily bread. For many of you in gentle healing, that may be one of the thoughts from the gentle healing lesson for the day. Not true, only belief. Let me look at this thought that I've been given today instead. Let me reprogram what I'm running on. Turn from the subconscious and to the superconscious. Okay, again, unless we consciously make different choices, we're running on the programming as if on autopilot, and we will continue to believe, act, and have the experience of being what we are not, right? Because that's the treasure we're storing up. So Regina gave us a list of ways to uncover and let go of subconscious thought in order to experience truth. And I'm going to share those with you. Sorry, I got distracted. I saw Mom at Connie's. Hi, Mom. So here it is. Here's what we need to do. Let's see what these are. The first was in the reading. Well, actually, again, as Shauna read this morning, I'm like, hey, all these are in the reading. But the first is to slow down. Find a way to create more space, more stillness in your life. Because if you're running ragged, what are you running on? You're going to be running on autopilot. Those are the thoughts you're going to be listening to. You've got to find a way to slow down. Take that time for contemplation in the morning. Make spaces in your life. You know, many people say build in cues to remind you to slow down. You know, every time I start my car, I'm going to take a moment. Every time I walk through a doorway, I'm going to take a moment, right? At Bentinho Massaro, 3 to 5 seconds. Whatever it is, find your triggers to slow down so we can slow this whole. Lynn says, go to the bathroom. So I guess every time you go to the bathroom, use that as an opportunity to connect with super conscious, not to just like keep letting these thoughts run through your brain. Find a way to create more space and stillness in your life. The next tip is to learn to discern between willingness and resistance, and to choose willingness. And certainly Luke chapter 12 talked to us about that. Those are the only two experiences, right? We just talked about them in terms of subconscious and superconscious. But those are the only two experiences you will ever have, no matter what flavor is coming up. Those are the only two experiences, willingness and resistance. So willingness, what's that mean? Willingness to face what we believe and to heal it. That's the willingness we're talking about. And what's the resistance? The resistance to doing that, the resistance to healing, right? So learn to discern between the willingness, between willingness to face what you believe and to heal it, and resistance to that, and choose willingness. So one of the easiest or most helpful ways to do that is to learn what the subconscious sounds like. What does ego sound like? And then to let those thoughts go just because they're ego. Now, where we have a problem with that is we're like, oh, the ego, that sounds like good advice. Ego says, well, you know, I've been with you all these years and I've never led you wrong, huh? So you should listen to this advice. And so you listen to it and you're like, well, yeah, that sounds reasonable. Let's do that. That's not it. That is not what you're being asked to do. What you're being asked to do is learn what ego sounds like. Once you learn what ego sounds like, then you can just go, well, that may be good advice, but thank you, but no thank you. We reject it because it comes from the subconscious. Therefore, we're guaranteed that its primary goal is to keep the subconscious alive, to keep itself alive. And that's why we reject it, no matter how good the advice seems. The other reason we're reluctant to reject what ego says is because we think that's us, because that's the voice we've been listening to for all these years. Sounds like me. Sounds like something I'd do. Well, then that's a good reason to reject it, isn't it? Yeah. Right? Where's that gotten you? The other way to discern between willingness and resistance is to be willing to leave your comfort zone. Right? Because your comfort zone, that's the subconscious. That's right. That's a way of maintaining this web of beliefs. I'm going to sit right here in my web of beliefs because that's where I'm comfortable. That's why we have to leave it. So if you get the prompt, if you get the idea to do something that you wouldn't normally do, Don't go, yeah, but that's not how I roll. That's not helpful. That's subconscious. The one that's going, yeah, but that's not what we do. That's subconscious. Yeah. Tony and Tom, be willing to look, be willing to change. That's it exactly. That's the willingness. Okay, the next tip is to focus on your own experience. You don't need to focus on what's going on with other people. You don't need to focus on what's going on with the world. Your job is just what we were told in the reading. We need to look at these thoughts. We need to look at what we're running on. We need to clean up the mess in here. And that's what will make us helpful to the world. And then if there's something that needs to be done, if the whales need to be saved, if I need to go on some expedition somewhere and help starving children, I will be guided to do that. If that's mine to do, I will be guided to do that. But that's not where my focus needs to be now. My focus needs to be on cleaning up the mess in here. Then I can be truly helpful. The next tip is to hold these thoughts from the subconscious. I'm bad. Nobody likes me. Everybody's mean to me. Hold them long enough to evaluate them. Because mostly what we want to do is go, nobody likes me. No, that's not true. I'm great. Everybody loves me, right? We want to avoid those thoughts. We want to defend those thoughts. We want to do anything so we're not sitting there looking directly at them. So we don't have to experience them. Why? Because we think they're true. But you have to look at, be willing to sit in that ickiness long enough to see, what is it I'm believing? Ooh, I see that I'm believing I'm a victim. Otherwise, I wouldn't need to control this situation, right? My need to control this situation is a defense against looking at my belief in victimhood. So I need to be willing to sit with whatever thoughts I find long enough to see what they are and to see that I don't want them. Yeah. Again, don't run from your experience. Be willing to see what has been driving you and your experience. Be willing to look underneath your emotions to your thoughts. And this said, the reading said that God's will for you is perfect happiness. So if you're experiencing anything else other than perfect happiness, then you're in the subconscious. You're listening to the thoughts of the ego. You're giving those thoughts believing attention. So when I find myself experiencing anything but joy and happiness, this is the time that I slow down and go, gee, what was I just thinking? What's going on here? Why am I unhappy? I'm not unhappy because of something she said or he said or this happened or that happened. I'm unhappy because of something that's going on in here, because of a thought that's occurred in here that I went, oh, yeah, I'm believing that I'm believing. What is it I'm believing? That's how you undo it. You can't get rid of it till you see it. And your experience, your emotions are key to what's going on. In fact, that's one of our tips. Watch the body and what the body does in the world as a means of watching these unconscious thoughts. Pay attention to how you feel. See if you can catch that thought. Not true, only belief. And replace that with your daily bread. I see I'm running out of time here. The other two tips I want to share with you are very similar to one another. Keep your faith with your spiritual purpose as life unfolds. Remember, it's all about your healing. It's not about whether so-and-so's mean or whether they should be better or whether the world should be. It's not about that. This is our focus is on healing. What's in here? What's in here that I'm ignoring that needs to be come up and let go so I can experience the truth? That's the focus. It's all about my healing. This is why when we do root cause inquiry, we go, if I had a perfectly healed mind, I wouldn't be upset or angry or whatever it is, right? It's about the purification. It's about letting go of those thoughts that are keeping me within this illusion. And then the final one is, and let me just say that one more time. These thoughts that are under there tell you what is in your subconscious, tell you what's in your wallet. So if I'm having an experience, a repeated experience of being unhappy, I need to look and see what's in my wallet. And finally, always check for your motive. Why is it you're doing what you find yourself doing? Is it because it's helpful for my healing? That's the only motive that's of any value. Is this helpful for my healing? Is this helping me to let go of those subconscious beliefs? All right. I think, I know, boom, I'm done. But boom, I'm done. Don, I will ask you to play that final song. And yeah, thanks, everybody. Okay. Yay. So that's what we're trying to do. Yeah. So now it's your turn to share. I didn't mention before the song that it was also your opportunity and remains your opportunity to donate to Awakening Together. We operate on your donations and we appreciate them. So Dawn posted the link for donations during the song. But it's your opportunity to share. So I would love to hear from you guys. I got to say that... I got to say, come on and share. That's what I got to say. George has his hand up, and then George is up. George, and then Dawn is reminding me that after this we'll go to fellowship. But George, please share.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that because there's only a few seconds there, but you did a great job as always, and hopefully you captured the essence of the retreat. I wasn't there, so I don't know, but I'll be glad to listen to this message again. Thank you.
Thanks, George. Okay, take it away, Dawn. Thanks, everybody. Love you.